God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Amen. The Word of God says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came and cried, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the doors for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour." This time, I'd like to go to God in prayer. Tim, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. I want to share with you a little while this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Weddings are very interesting, aren't they? I say Miss Renee back there could stand and share about some experiences of weddings. Now, as you know, I've been a preacher for 40-some years now, a little over 40 years, and I've had a whole lot of weddings over that time. I was asked one time what my percentage was. I don't know, okay? I don't know how many of them are still together. I pray every day that they're still together. But I've had some interesting weddings. You look back, right back here on the fourth row, Doug and Debbie had a very interesting wedding. It was up in the woods in front of our house. We all got on side-by-sides and four-wheelers and everything and went up there and had that wedding. I've had a lot of weddings that have went just the way they're supposed to go. But you always got to have some weddings that had some problems, right? Just to keep you on your toes. I was having a big wedding over in Somerset. A friend of mine was getting married, and he asked for us to do the wedding. And I was up front, and he had all kinds of people in the wedding party, and everybody was there. And the First Baptist Church in Somerset was packed to the brim. And, you know, I get to the point, you all been to weddings that I've done before, and I'll look at everybody and I'll say, "Is there an exchange of rings?" That means that they're going to give me the rings for the blessing, and I'm going to pray over the rings, and then they're going to say their vows, and then we're going to be able to get their wedding rings together. Well, y'all remember those when you had those big furnaces and they had those big crates that were on the floor that you know, everybody didn't want to walk on or be around? Well, right before, in front of me, where I was doing the wedding, guess what? There was one of those there. And they decided that instead of having an adult hand me the rings, that the little kids that brought the flowers, you know, and the wedding party and all that, that they were going to be the ones to untie the knot. That was the first problem. Untie the knot and then give the rings to me to be able to perform the wedding. Well, it worked pretty decent. They got the rings from the back of the church up to the front, and you know what happened, don't you? They finally got the knot loose, started handing me the rings, and right as they did, they stumbled. The rings went right down in the grates, okay? So what do you do then? Everybody's eyes are on you. I know one thing. I prayed the longest prayer I've ever prayed in my entire life, and somehow, someway, I don't know, because my eyes were closed while I was praying. Somehow, someway, somebody got that crate open and was able to reach down in and get those. One of the most interesting weddings we ever had was I was mowing grass over at Sufferwell when we was living in the parsonage there. And I was dirty and hot and sweating all over the place. And some people drove up in our driveway and they said, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am. Even though I don't look like the preacher, yes, I am the preacher. Can you marry us?" And I said, "Well, sure. Let me go in, change clothes, take a shower,
get everything together. Let's talk a little while, and then I'll marry. No, we need to get married right now. That's all. I've had a few of those. People call, I need to get married right now, right now. And my favorite question is, why do you want to get married right now? Now, you're not going to see this come from anywhere. They were going to go see Dolly Parton in concert down in Tennessee, and they wanted to make sure they were married before they went to hear Dolly. That's a good one, isn't it? It's a real good one. I've had all kinds of weddings, all kinds of weddings. A lot of weddings that have went good and been blessed in a lot of those. And a lot of you here, I've married you over the years as well. Weddings definitely have changed. When you look at this scripture I read to you this morning, the weddings in those days were definitely, definitely different. We see that the wedding party would get together and have a big gigantic wedding, and they'd have all of these things that was going on, and they'd even be people, the 10 virgins that was there, was waiting for the bridegroom to come back home, because they had, listen to this, after the wedding, all of you fathers that have paid for weddings before, think about this. They had a festival of gathering where everybody got together. They had this big, gigantic party for seven days. And they shared, guess how much food and things would go on during that time. And on the way from the wedding, to where the festival and the banquet all was going to take place, there was these virgins on the side of the road that was waiting for the bridegroom to come home for the festival to start. Now, one of the things that we found out, when you go to church or you have a wedding, you have anything at the church, you never know what time you're going to go home. Amen, Joe Murphy? Amen. You never know. And the virgins had no idea. They were not told when the bridegroom was going to come by. They were not told when they needed to be ready. They was not told to do anything. Now, when we go places, I like to be prepared. Amen? And the rest of you like that? We were checking into our motel, our condo down at Gulf Shores. There were some interesting things that was going on during that time that we didn't know was going to happen when we got down there. We had reservations. Sheila's our reservation queen. She gets that all taken care of, usually a year ahead of time. We know where we're going to go and where we're going to stay and all of those type of things. We walked in to get our reservations. We got ours, and there's some people came in trying to get reservations. And guess what? There wasn't any. Why? Well, for one thing, it was fall break everywhere in the world that was down there. And also the hurricanes that was going on. And people had come up from South Florida down to Lower Alabama or Lower Los Angeles, some folks stay sometimes. But they were all there trying to get a place to stay, and there was no place to go. Well, five of those virgins says, I'm going to make my reservation of being there, and I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to take my lamp, and I'm also going to take what else? My oil. Because I have no idea when the bridegroom is going to come. Now, the other five virgins, they got part of it right. They just took their lamps. They thought, well, maybe, sounds like they just sort of went on a whim, didn't they? Maybe I'll just take my lamps. Maybe I'll have enough oil. Or maybe, just maybe, somebody else will take care of me. And one of the things the scriptures shares with us is they did not know the hour or even the day when the bridegroom was going to come back. So the wise virgins, there in verse 1 it says, the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So they were prepared, weren't they? They were prepared. They knew exactly what they needed to do. Not only were they present, but they were prepared for the bridegroom to come back. Not only did they have enough oil for just a little while, but they took enough oil so that they could wait around for a little while. And the scripture says that they become sleepy or they become drowsy and they fell asleep. When the wise virgins went to sleep, they didn't have anything to worry about, did they? Because they knew what? They had their lamps and they had their oil and they could wait as long as they needed to see the bridegroom come. Now you look at the foolish virgins there in verse 3. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. They also are present, but they're not prepared. They had just enough oil to get by. They believe the bridegroom would come in their time frame, not the bridegroom's time frame. And when they went to bed that evening, when they became drowsy and fell asleep, they had no idea what they were going to do if the bridegroom come back or if they were going to have enough oil to keep their lamps burning. Big question today, which one fits you? See, I believe today that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? I don't have any doubt in that. There's not one fiber of my being that doubts that question. I truly believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't know when that is. We do know that our life, it moves by quickly, doesn't it? And it seems like it moves quicker and quicker and quicker every day. Well, on the last day that Sheila and I was at the beach, I asked her, I said, honey, did you take any pictures today? And she says, no, I haven't. And I said, well, let's write our names. So I wrote my name in the sand. She took a picture. She wrote her name in the sand. We wrote all of our family's names in the sand, and she took a picture of those. And what you know what was interesting about that name in the sand? How quickly we could just get rid of it. Just took my foot, Paul was gone. Took my foot, Sheila was gone. That's sort of like our life, isn't it? Just flies by. Just flies by. And we're going and we're going and we're going and going. You see, Satan wants us to be like those foolish virgins, doesn't he? He doesn't want us prepared. He wants us to sort of be asleep at the wheel and to say to ourselves, well, I hope I have enough Christianity in my life. I hope I have enough of the love of God in my life. I hope I have those things in my life to pull me through. He loves for us to say, it's going to be all right no matter what. I don't need to be prepared. I think maybe the bridegroom is going to come, but I'm really not worried about it because I think I know when it's going to happen and what's going to take place. He hopes and pleads for us to forget about getting ready for Christ to come back. The bridegroom, we know, will come at an unexpected time. We don't know the hour or the date. We preached about that a couple of weeks ago. We don't know when that is going to be. And we also had to realize there's only a 1 in 7 chance that he's going to come back on Sunday. Amen? We don't know. Only thing we truly do know is he's going to come back on a day that ends in what? In Y. And we have to be what? Prepared every day for that. You need to have your oil with you what? Every day. Because we don't know when the midnight cry is going to happen. We don't know when he's going to pass by. The 10 virgins, bless their heart, 5 of them, they had it made, didn't they? They truly knew that they were going to be ready for the bridegroom. So today, if you want to be ready for the bridegroom, you've got to have plenty of oil, right? And your lamps burning. And saying every day, I am ready. I am ready for you to come and receive me as one of your own, dear Lord, and to take me home to be with you. I am truly ready. But as a church, we know that we need to do our very best to make sure that we're not only ready, but who else is ready? Everybody else. Everybody else that we love. Everybody else that we come in contact with. Everybody that's around about us. There are some very important decisions you're going to make in your life. Getting married is a big, big, big decision, isn't it? Buying your first home. Remember that? Buying that stack of papers that you had to sign, and you look down there and it said, you'll have it paid off in 30 years. I remember when Sheila and I were in our 20s when we bought our first house, and I said, that means I'm going to be 50. 50 used to be old. Y'all remember that? 50, that's a big responsibility. Buying your first car, bringing your first child into the world, What a big responsibility that is, and something that's a big decision for you to make. But the biggest decision you will ever make is where you are going to spend eternity. Amen? And you have it. It's simple. You just have to be ready for the bridegroom, don't you? You have to have oil in your lamps and be prepared to receive him as yourself. You see, when you buy those houses and you buy those cars, they're going to charge you interest. God's not going to charge you interest for heaven, is he? He's going to give you things in heaven. He's going to give you all the glorious things that you hear people talk about. So today, if you're here today and you are not ready for the bridegroom, you've got your lamp. Why would I say that? You're at church. Maybe you carry your Bible with you. Maybe you talk to some folks about Christ, but you don't have your oil to be ready. You've not turned your heart and your life over to Christ. One of the things that I want you to know about this church, we love you however you are, right? Amen? We love you even though you may have sin in your life. We love you even though that you may now have Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. We love you. And if you come forward this morning to pray and ask Christ to come into your heart and your life, one thing is for sure. Everybody that is here will be happy for you. And everybody here will be praying for you. Are you ready? Hopefully you'll make that decision. Maybe you're sort of in the middle of those 10 virgins. You got your lamp, you got your oil, but maybe your oil's not doing anything. Maybe your lamp is not burning as strong and as beautiful as it should be. I believe all of us as Christians could do better than we are. Amen? We could all do better. We could all do better. We never need to get to a point where we say, well, Brother Paul, done all I can do. I'm as good a Christian as I'm going to be. I'm as good as I'm going to get. This is all about me. No, that's not what Christ wants. I believe Christ wants us to get stronger when? Every day. He wants us to be more like him every day. We want our lamps to be shining. We sing the song during Vacation Bible School and other places. This is a light of mine. Why? I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because we want others to see a little bit of Christ where? Inside of me and how that I live my life and what I do in my life. Maybe you're not as bright as you used to be. Maybe your flame is not as tall as it used to be where others can see Christ in you. What is so great about that is this. You still have time to get a little more oil, don't you? You still have a little more time to be talking to Christ and asking Christ for deliverance. Are you ready? Hopefully you are. But if not, guess what? You got a chance today to get ready. You can come up and pray around this altar. You've heard me say this many times. I truly believe that God is right here. Amen? Amen. Guess what? I truly believe God's right there too. And you can pray. You can talk to him and ask him for deliverance in your life, asking for a little more oil in your life where your flame will be strong and be mighty and you'll be able to talk to him. We invite you to come this morning as we have our closing song.